Today on Rock of the Suburbs, we talk about Metallica's 72 seasons.
72 seasons? That's 18 years, Mike.
Well, there's only one thing for it, then.
What's that?
Full speed or nothing.
Well, welcome to Rocking Suburbs. I'm not Jim Linehan, I'm Stephen Routledge, and with me today is not Patrick Foster, but the one and only...
Mike Coley.
Well, Mike, how you doing, mate? Good to be talking music again with you.
Yeah, good to see you. I'm looking forward to this.
Yes, indeed. Not long after we had our last chats when we did Metallica Week, they dropped a new single and announced a new album. So they'd obviously, you know, been listening to us, taken our points on board. And so as soon as we knew the new album was coming, it was like, okay, we had to send up the horns bat signal to convene to discuss the new album once it come out. So here we are, getting ready to talk even more Metallica. A week of it wasn't enough. We're back for more.
They keep bringing it. We'll keep talking about it.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. So, it's been out for just over a week now. 72 seasons. The new Metallica album. The title of which comes from, I believe, Mike, that being the first 18 years of your life. I think they talked about how that's the what you take from. That into your life, etc., is the kind of the concept of the album, if there is such a sort of loose gathering of things. But
definitely, it's not that necessarily a concept album, but yeah, it's got a string going through it for sure.
Yeah, and I've made a note in one of my notes to mention about the packaging of the album and the artwork, which I do quite like. It's quite bold and sort of striking, like with the broken sort of crib or cot, you know, and the various bits of detritus from a sort of blackened, obviously that being their record label. But I don't know if you've got the vinyl version of this, Mike, or not.
I picked it up yesterday and I put it back down. I don't know what the reason was for me putting it back down, but I just didn't want to spend the money, I guess. I only bought 3 records for record store.
Well, we'll come back to that later. But on the CD version, I'm guessing it's probably the same on the vinyl, that you got like some bars across the back with like the 72 etched through that, and then you got Hetfield's face sort of staring out from behind these bars. It's quite effective. Nice bit of packaging and production there. But anyway, okay. Well, that's, you know, we're not here just to talk about how it looks. We're here to talk about how it sounds, Mike. So, shall we take a brief listen to the opening track, which is also the title track, and then we can get stuck into talking about what we think about this this new album from there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. We'll be right back.
that opening, just charging intro, almost like you're jamming. I just get the image of jamming down an open highway in the desert, roof off. And the only vision is you just see the desert ahead of you and you're just flying down the highway.
Yeah, it's I think it's an awesome intro, a great way to start the album. It really sets the tone perfectly. You know, just right from the very first with that kind of like high distorted bass part and then sort of gradually building everything over the top of that. And then it just kicks straight into like thrashing away. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, we're back in safe territory here. There's no bold new direction this time.
Yeah, I mean, do what you do well.
And they absolutely
they brought it on this one for sure. One thing I did notice is, and I hate doing this all the time when we talk about Metallica albums, but harping on the drumming, it didn't seem like Lars was really. I mean, he seemed pretty metronomic on this song, where he's just like boom, boom, boom. But it was like he was using a metronome.
Maybe he's playing to a click. I don't know, but I mean, yeah, I mean, Lars's technique has been discussed at length by Metallica fans and the band as well, and I guess there's so much else. Everything else is so positive in this track that I didn't really. The drumming or lack of flash didn't really stand out for me, I guess. But
yeah, it's not going to grab you in a negative way for sure. I mean, it's there, but you know the Metallica fans are very critical.
I guess so. Yeah, but I guess that Lars is not known for being he's not a Newcomer Brain or a Dave Lombardo, is he? So you know. Even by his own admission, he would that he's not he's not a drummer of those guys' caliber. So, I guess I'm not expecting to have my sort of ears blown off by his drumming. But in terms of that overall track though, I think it's just it's fantastic.
Overall, it's a great open for this album, and it's like you said, it sets the tone for what's to come.
Yeah, about 4 minutes in, it kind of resets and kicks up the intensity a little. It sort of does a little mini reprise of the intro and then just kicks it up a little bit more intensity to the end. It's over 7 minutes long, and people think, oh no, here we go again. This is just going to be like.
I gotta be honest, I did think the same thing.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. But this track does not feel 7 minutes long to me. Because it's so propulsive and there's so much energy. James sounds great on his vocals and kind of invigorated. And, I can with that intro, you can totally see like the lights coming down, Ecstasy of Gold fades out, and then they kick straight into this,
Oh, it would be a great opener on tour for sure.
Yeah. You're not going to be disappointed if they play this one. And I'm sure they will be playing this one plenty of times. So really, really strong start to the album, and certainly what we had with the sort of getting back to basics with Death Magnetic and then Hardwired, they've continued that on, but and I think there's someone maybe we'll come back to again. I feel like they feel quite comfortable in this album. It's like, okay, they've recentered themselves, they got themselves back on track over the last couple of two albums, and then it's like, okay, now we're just gonna do what we want to do.
Right, yeah, they reset the clock.
Well.
And it seems like over these past three albums, this one has progressed even more than the other two as far as dialing in what their sound is going to be going forward.
Yes, absolutely. I've got some more thoughts on that later on we'll come to. But, as you said, great start. Great way to kick off the album. So, we followed it up with Shadows Follow, which keeps that aggressive pace going. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this song, I don't think, at all. It's just not quite as good as the two songs either side of it. I don't think it's kind of like coming after the opener. It does step back a little bit.
Even make any notes for this song for some reason. I don't know why. It just didn't stick with me. As opposed to the rest of the songs where I mean, most of the songs on this album I really dig. This one, for some reason, didn't really stick out for me. Like you said, it's a little bit of a step back from 72 Seasons. But again, it's Metallica. It's not.
Yeah, if you put it, and I'll say this about some other tracks later on the album, you put this on Reload or St. Anger, and it's immediately the best track.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we're damning with faint praise on this one, I think. So, okay, well, we follow that up with Screaming Suicide, and I really like this one as well. It's got a nice, like, and Kirk's really, I mean, Kirk's always used his wah wah pedal a lot. He's kind of renowned for using that a lot in his lead work. But yeah, the melody line to start Screaming Suicide, you know, from Kirk, he's like using the wah wah all over it. And it's got a really nice riff as well, a nice, powerful riff in this one. And a thing that, again, I think is a prominent theme throughout the album is that the bass is really prominent in the mix throughout the whole album. I don't know if you noticed that, Mike.
I did notice that. You almost wonder if they did that on purpose just to kind of dispel the whole recent rehashing of Jason Newsted's bass being turned down in the Justice recording. But yeah, I noticed that for sure.
Yeah, me too. It's not just that there are a number of parts where the bass is like playing like a lead riff in play. Yeah, like the intro. There's a number of intros where we hear Robert just loud and clear because the bass is kind of isolated, and everything builds around it. But even just in the normal tracks, it really comes through. And this particular song it was one of a couple on the album that really cut. The lyrics really spoke to me. Because of sort of my troubles that I had, you know, about a year ago, you know, it really kind of worked on a lyrical level for me as well. And I thought that musically, this song's got, there's kind of no flab in this one. Again, it's only a 5.5 minute song, which for a lot of people is quite a long song, as it might, but for Metallica that's considered short these days. So. But I don't know if you noticed at the end, there's a little studio outtake, isn't it, where somebody says nice at the end of the take?
I made some notes about just throughout the album. I did say studio banter was a cool touch. So it almost feels like you're in the room with them.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the producer, Greg Fiddleman, who's with his comment there. But that summed it up nicely. But I really like that one as well. So. Absolutely no complaints about that one. And moving on from there, we get in talking of the bass being prominent. We move on to Sleepwalking My Life Away. So let's take a listen to the start of that, and then we'll talk a little bit more, Mike.
Nice little Sandman-ish riff going on there, but yeah, that bass opening, it's a great sound for them. I think they need to do more of that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you hear just something in the background there, Mike? Because I was hearing it. I think it's the sound of Jason Newsted crying in the corner going, why? Why didn't we do this when I was in the band, guys? Because we're definitely not on Injustice for All by any stretch of the imagination here, are we? But another really good intro as well. I think really live is going to work well, building up, before it kicks in.
Absolutely.
It's just another really solid song, and a good solo from Kirk in that one as well.
He's kind of got his Steve Vai influence going a little bit in this song as well. I mean, he's kind of got that the talking guitar sound going.
Using the whammy and the wah, and that is a good I think. Both the one of my notes for the album as a whole was that sort of the quiet two, Robert and Kirk, sort of really shine, I think, on this album. There's quite a few times for Kirk solos or little riffs that he's put in that I've like, oh yeah, really like, you know, you expect sort of with Metallica that all James and Lars is going to be the prominent two, but I think on the album, it's, I think maybe why it comes across quite so well is that the other guys sort of feel like they're really making major contributions, you know.
Yeah, it's more of a group album for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So that was Sleepwalk My Life Away. That rolls us into You Must Burn. And any thoughts on this one, Mike?
Has an ominous feel to it for sure. A little lurching start to it. And some cool shotgun snares from Lars. A little bit long, I think. I'm coming in at 7:03.
Yeah.
Then again, you know, the average length of the songs on here are six-ish minutes long. So
yeah,
Metallica doing Metallica will Metallica, I guess. But
yeah,
they didn't quite self-edit as much as they maybe should have. But yeah, it's a good tune. I like that song. It's got a little different pace to it.
Yeah, it's interesting what you say about it because it took me a couple of listens. I think I listened to the album about five times in total since it's come out, and it took me a couple of listens to come around to this one. I didn't like it the first couple of times, but I put down it morphed into like a kind of lurching, and you use that word, kind of behemoth of a song, you know, just powering along, and it's got a kind of that lurch. It's kind of that sad but true kind of lurch, you know, that kind of that sort of boxer's swagger kind of lurch sort of thing, isn't it? It's definitely got that. Okie dokie. Well, You Must Burn then leads into Lux Eterna, which was the aforementioned lead single, and what I imagine would be if this was an album in split into two halves, the end of side one. So let's take a listen to Lux Eterna, and then we'll talk some more about that.
If they wanted to send a message to the fans, this was the single to do it with.
Absolutely.
Short, to the point. Kill them all era-ish feel to it. And it's a banger for sure. I really enjoy that one. And that got me hyped when they first released this, and I couldn't wait for the rest of the album. And they just slowly trickled out singles. Then they finally released the album, and yeah, this is one of the killer tracks on this album.
Absolutely, Mike. I put down that this is like an instant classic, go straight into the set list. I'm not a gambling man, but if I was, I'd be willing to wager decent money that they were listening to No Sleep Till Hammersmith at lunchtime the day they recorded this or wrote it, because the Motorhead vibe is strong in this one, I thought. Funny how you say about Kill 'Em All. Imagine this straight into Hit the Lights or Sickness Destroy. Or imagine, or a sandwich of those three with this in the middle. I mean, that'd be phenomenal.
being a neck brace by the end of the
What night. Is that? But hey, you know, that's occupational hazard, isn't it? Tellingly, it's by far the shortest song on the album. I think it's the shortest song they've recorded for quite a while, at less than 3.5 minutes. Bit of nominative determinism going on, I think, there with the lyrics of Full Speed or Nothing, because that most definitely is Full Speed or Nothing, isn't it?
There it is.
Yeah, it's a really, just like I say, go straight onto your best of compilation, you know, that stands up with any of the other stuff from the golden era, you know. So great way to end out the first half of the album.
All right, this is Jim. I'm cutting in here for a moment. Thanks very much to Steven and Mike for recording this episode about Metallica's 72 seasons. It's so good, in fact, that we're going to cut this into two episodes. So you just heard them talk up to the end of disc one of this double album. Tomorrow, tune in again, and they will talk about the second disc on 72 seasons, all right? That's how that works. So you only get 36 seasons per episode, but that's still a good value. All right. So let's get out of here now. Thanks for listening to Rock in the Suburbs, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Great start.